Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again about a peaceful home. I can think of nothing more tremendous than the fact of that verse that I always quote for you, that you are loved with an everlasting love, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. Can you think of anything more important to thank God for? There's someone to give thanks to for every breath we take, for the fact that He loves us with an everlasting love, and that underneath are those arms which will never let us go. Be thankful. It might be a good idea today to sit down and make a long list of all the things that you can be thankful for. You might do that with your family. And I remember a returned missionary saying, "I'm thankful for hot water." Well, I can certainly sympathize with that. Do you ever realize what a blessing it is that you can just turn on a faucet and get hot water? Some people can't get any kind of water, let alone hot. Well, this business of a peaceful home, what does it take? I want to tell you a little bit about a woman who was a most remarkable mother. Some of you have heard about Susanna Wesley. She lived in 1669 to 1742, and she was the mother of John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Episcopal Church, and Charles Wesley, who wrote, are you ready for this, over 9,000 hymns, including Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Susanna Wesley had 19 children. 11 of them died in childhood. Her husband was gone, imprisoned because of debt. She was publicly chastised for teaching the gospel to the crowds of people who came to her home. She had an unmarried daughter who got pregnant. Among the things which were attributed to her influence were the abolition of slavery, the founding of both the YMCA and the YWCA, free hospitals, libraries, the Salvation Army, and dozens of schools and colleges. Now, I didn't say that she founded all of those things, but all of those things are attributed in some part to the influence of Susanna Wesley. When each of her children reached the age of 5, she taught them the alphabet and to read the Bible. Not very many 5-year-olds could read the Bible today, even in a modern translation, I don't suppose. And the King James English was certainly not all simple words. But her children learned to read the Bible by the time they were 5. Her husband, Samuel, once said, "I wonder at your patience. You have told that child 20 times the same thing." And her reply was, "If I had satisfied myself by mentioning it only 19 times, I would have lost all my labor. It was the 20th time that crowned it." One of the rules of the house was that there were 3 meals a day, and only 3 meals a day. There was a little table beside the parents' big table where the children, when they were very small, sat. They were not to ask for anything at the table. This meant, of course, that the mother had to be very alert and sensitive to the needs of the children because, of course, she passed them the things that they needed. But it was part of their discipline to learn to be quiet at the table. They had family prayers every evening before supper. Another wonderful custom that I would strongly recommend for anyone who wants to have a peaceful home. Gather the family together somehow on a regular basis, even if you can only do it on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or perhaps on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. At least that's regular, isn't it? It's something predictable and something that everyone can learn to make a habit of. She said the subjecting of the will of a child is a thing that must be done at once. By neglecting timely correction, they will contract a stubbornness and obstinacy that are hardly ever afterward conquered, and never without using such severity as would be as painful to me as to the child. Maybe I better read that again, because it's such an important principle. She says the subjecting of the will of a child is a thing that must be done at once. By neglecting timely correction, they will contract a stubbornness and obstinacy that are hardly ever afterward conquered, and never without using such severity as would be as painful to me as to the child. Once in a while, a young mother will ask me for advice on disciplining a young child, and usually when I try to explain how to do it, they will say, "But that's so hard. I don't know whether I have the patience for that, or I'm not sure I have time for that." And then, of course, I point out that it will take a great deal more time if they don't correct the stubbornness and subject the will of the child early. The earlier you do it, the easier it is. Because, of course, the younger the child, the more malleable, the more pliable, and the more subject to the formation of good habits. Everybody forms habits. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, and it's the job of the mother and father to instill good habits in the child. For example, if the child does not want to brush his teeth, if it becomes a matter of argument, then, of course, it's going to be a matter of argument every night of the world. The subjecting of the will is a thing that must be done at once. You need not explain to a 2-year-old child why he has to brush his teeth beyond just a simple, "Well, it makes your teeth clean." But if you get into an argument, then you've lost the battle. And as Susanna Wesley so wisely says, it's going to require measures of greater severity later, which are going to be more painful to her and to the child. Then she says this, "Religion is nothing else than doing the will of God and not our own. The one grand impediment to our temporal and eternal happiness being this self-will. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes religion impracticable, salvation unattainable, and does all that in him lies to damn his child, body and soul, forever." That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Now, why is that? It's because self-will is the greatest obstacle, or she calls it the one grand impediment, to our temporal and eternal happiness. I can remember my mother's efforts when my younger brothers and sisters were growing up. I remember my observations of that so much better than I remember her corrections of me, of course. And I could see that her object was always the child's freedom and liberation and happiness. It wasn't to put the child down. But it takes perspective to see that, doesn't it? Sometimes we forget that that's God's purpose when He does not want us to go our will, but according to His, because He wants to bring us to our full glory and to fulfillment. And the parent who loves the child will not do the devil's work and make religion impracticable and salvation unattainable by failing to help the child to break his self-will. Every day there are opportunities to show the child that he must act by the strength of his will against himself. People often talk about a child as being strong-willed, when I think a better word would be willful. It takes a strong will to will against ourselves. The willful child wants his own way and only his own way and never wants to do the mother's or the father's way. But if we're going to give saints to God, and isn't this the object of parents, They want to raise those children to be saints so that they can offer to God pure and holy people. If a mother and father are going to give saints to God, then the most important thing that they can do to help that child learn to obey God is to learn to obey them first. Because, of course, the mother and the father stand in the place of God for that child. He doesn't understand the everlasting arms. He only understands his mother's arms. He doesn't understand everlasting love. He only understands a father's love, a mother's love. If your home is run on these principles set forth by Susanna Wesley, there's no telling the influence that your children may have on the world.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.